Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. Right now, you're going to hear from our pastor, Dennis Vardy. This month's series is called Do the Math, and it speaks about what God is wanting to add to your life and what he wants to subtract, and if division can be a lifesaver for you. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, last week, we just began a series that we've titled Do the Math. Do the Math. And I'm so glad you came back. You don't hate math so much that you decided to skip the series. But today we're on subtraction, the next part of the equation. We're going to talk to you a little bit about subtraction. Now, subtraction is often the thing that's overlooked in life. I mean, a lot of times our life is all about addition, isn't it? We're all about the next step in our life. We're all about the next thing that we're going to be doing. Maybe it's about the next purchase you're thinking of adding, you know, to your life. You're going to buy a new vehicle. Maybe it's about a house that you're looking to buy. Maybe it's about the next step in your family. You're looking to have another child. That's a pretty big addition, isn't it? You know, sometimes we're adding in our career. We're looking for the next promotion, the next level, the next growth place that we can go to with our business or whatever it may be. And so often life is looked at always in the context of addition. What do I need to do? What do I need to add? In fact, we can be the same way when it comes to our walk with God. And we can just always be thinking about what I need to add, what I need to do, and not take into consideration the other side of this. And so we look to addition sometimes even when we have problems in our life and think, oh, there must be something I need to add to deal with this problem. But today as we look at the subject of subtraction, we're actually going to look at a Bible character that's going to help us understand the importance of it. We're going to have a look at our man, Abraham, and understand the importance of subtraction by looking at his life. Let's go to the scriptures first about God's promise to Abraham out of Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. And here's what the scripture says. He says, I will make you, this is God's promise to Abraham, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, I'll make your name great, and so you will be a blessing. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. How many of you know that's a pretty powerful promise that God made? I mean, that's talk about living large. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of what I do in your life. It's huge. It's huge. God is making a promise, and it's all about addition. I'm going to bless you, but I'm not just going to bless you. I'm going to bless you so much that you become a blessing to others. And you know, that's the pattern that God has us on. God says, I want you to succeed in life, but I don't just want you to stop there. I want you to succeed, and then I want that success to become significance in the lives of other people. In other words, what I do in your life is actually going to overflow and meant to have an impact into others around you. Well, that's a great promise. That's an awesome vision for our lives. And the Bible talks about us being a partner with the same promise that God gave Abraham. And it's all about addition. And it's wonderful. But let's have a look at what God said just before that scripture. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Well, that scripture is a little different. We were talking about his vision for his life, and it was all about addition. But now God's saying the pathway to your addition is going to be subtraction. The pathway to you getting to what I want for your life is going to happen this way. You're going to have to leave your country. You're going to have to leave your relatives. Maybe that's good news for some of you. I don't know, but you're going to have to leave your father's house. Three things God says to him. He says, you're going to have to take these things out of your life for me to be able to bring into your life what I want to bring into your life. And many times we look at God adding to our life just in the context of, well, God, you're just going to add. You're just going to add. God says, no, I've got to do some subtracting. I've got to bring some changes into your life in order for me to add everything that I want to add. How many ready to receive from the word today? Let's pray. Let's ask God to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there's a great promise in scripture that says that your word is sent forth to accomplish something. And that not only is it sent to accomplish something in our life, but the promise is it will do it. I pray today that your word would accomplish its purpose in our world. Lord, as we set our mind and set our heart to receive from you, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. I want to talk to you about three things God wants to do in your life in the area of subtraction. Leave your country, leave your relatives, and leave your father's house. First one, leave your country. Leave your country. Abraham's told, I need you to leave your country. How many know something? You can't get to where you need to go in life unless you're willing to leave where you are right now. Unless you're willing to leave where you are right now. It's interesting that Jesus, in ministering to a crippled person at the pool of Bethesda, he comes along to him, and what does he ask him? He asks him this question. It seems like a foolish question, but it's actually brilliant. He says, do you want to get healed? And really what Jesus was saying was this. It was more than just, do you want to get healed in that question? It was, are you okay with leaving life as you know it right now? Because life as you know it right now is you being lame, people just giving to you, people taking care of you. You don't have to be responsible for anything. You know, the current social welfare system is kind of taking care of your needs. You can just stay right where you are. You've been doing this for years. This has become your lifestyle. This has become your habit. Do you want to get healed? You know, it sounds like a silly question, but I literally had that encounter with somebody when I invited them to a healing service and talking to them about an issue in their life. And you know what their response back was to me? They said, I don't know how I'd live without this particular problem in my life. I couldn't believe it. I thought, do you want to get healed? And their answer was, well, not really. I'm kind of used to things being this way. But the point is we can be the same way. God's saying, I want to do something in your life, but you got to leave the place where you are right now so that I can get you to where I want to get you in life. The path to addition is often subtraction. Just think about that for a minute. The path to addition is often subtraction. You know, for instance, you might be a person who's here thinking, man, I really want to add money to my life. I'm always short. I always seem to be lacking. I want to get to a place of financial stability, and I just want to see my life advance financially and a better financial position, a healthy financial position in my life. Well, maybe the pathway to that addition in your life is actually subtracting all the wasteful spending that you do. Maybe the pathway to that is that you stop all those short-term pleasures in life for long-term gains and goals in your life. You know, statistics will tell us that if you're that person who is always in debt and always struggling, that actually if you add to your income, it won't change any of those things. Why? Because you have a habit of always living life in a position of need and debt and down to the last penny. You'll just do it with the more that comes into you. That's what they tell us will happen is as you add without subtracting, nothing will change. And so you can't continue to live in a place of your current spending habits and then see everything flourish at the same time. You've got to change that. Something's got to be subtracted called your bad habits of how you manage money. Why is it that so many lottery winners will just burn through all of that in such a short time? It's a common fact that that happens because they already have bad habits when it comes to finance and those things continue. They didn't get subtracted even though they got a big addition into their life. How about to your health? You know, many times when we think about, man, I just want to get in better health. I want to get in better shape, lose a few, gain some muscle, be able to do some of the sports, you know, that I always like to do. And I need to get ready. You know, the season for my sport is coming up. I think I should go to the gym. I need to add a gym membership, you know, to my life. I tried that once and it didn't do a thing for me. And somebody told me, you actually have to show up. But you know, many times this is the way we think, and all of the people that run those gyms know that. Why do you think they make such a push, you know, around the Christmas season and January? They're selling. And they're not worried about overselling. It's not like the airline industry. They don't care. They can sell out triple the amount of people that'll fit in the building. Why? Because come about mid-February, everything will be back to normal. But people often think, you know, what I need to do to deal with my health is I need to really add some exercise and all of these things into my life. Well, why don't you just subtract your poor eating habits? If you'd actually subtract fast food and poor eating habits, it'd have a greater influence on things like weight loss and all of those things than just adding exercise. Look it up for fun. Look it up for fun. Go look up how many calories are in a chocolate bar and how far you've got to run to burn those things off. I had somebody say to me this week, I'll just go outside and run around the building. I said, you'll have to do it about 19 times. You see, you can try to add to change it, but the truth of the matter is that you actually need to leave the place of your current eating habits in order to make a difference in your life. And if you don't leave that place of those eating habits, simply adding that exercise won't work. Your happy meal won't make you happy. You know, this week, I started to do this. You know, a few years ago, I found a great app on the internet called Fitness Pal. Sometimes it's fitness enemy, but basically all it does is it helps you understand how many calories are in food so that you look at food differently and you go, my gosh, I could eat a chocolate bar or I could have a meal. It's the same number of calories, you know. And so I began to work with that thing and lost quite a bit of weight. I needed to back then. I'm not all slim and beautiful like I am today, but I'm full of lies. But at any rate, well, this week, you know, after going through a summer of ice cream and, you know, and barbecue and all the rest of this, I need to lose a few. You know, I was talking to my wife about it. It's Wednesday night. I said, you know, I need to start that Fitness Pal again. I need to work on trimming up a little bit. And so I come to work on Thursday, and wouldn't you know it, but two people in the office decided on the very day that I was going to have this subtraction to bake chocolate chip cookies. Not oatmeal, not dry little biscuits, you know, chocolate chip cookies. I actually told them, I said, you know, if you had baked those other things, it would have been okay. They said, if we'd have baked those other things, we wouldn't be on your staff. And then one of them brought around the whole tray. Well, it still smelled and wafted. You just brought my subtraction into my office. I mean, I know it's hard to subtract sometimes. And I won't say their names, but their initials are Sophie and Emma. Oh, moving right along. How about your personal life? You think about, man, I want to grow my walk with God. I want to grow faith and joy in my life. And, you know, I want to get more of God's word. Our temptation is always to think about another edition, another conference, another podcast, another Christian television program, another good Christian book. And those things are all good. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? Sometimes when it comes to actually growing your walk with God, you might actually grow it a lot further if you just learn to subtract your complaining. Wow. If you just get rid of your bad attitude all the time that you keep dumping on people. If you just stop gossiping. If you just refuse to always be comparing and competing to other people. In other words, your personal growth isn't so much about learning more stuff and learning more of the good stuff. It's more about getting rid of the wrong stuff that's interrupting it from happening in the first place. If you just put more attention on subtracting the wrong attitudes, the wrong thinking, the wrong speaking, the good stuff would flourish because God's already put the seed of that inside of you. It's just being choked out by those things. But it's easier. It's easier to add than subtract. You know, it's easier to go watch another program. But here's the deal. I can watch another Christian program and not change. I can listen to another podcast and not change. I can actually read another Christian book and not change. I can do all of those things. But when I subtract what needs to go, I always experience positive change in my life. It's the way it works. You could be thinking right now about the addition that needs to happen in your life about, you know, being a part of a connect group. And maybe for some of you, you're like, man, I'm struggling about that. I don't have enough time. Well, the truth is that you need to make time. How do you do that? You do it by subtracting. You do it by subtracting. You get intentional about leaving the place of your current time management habits in order to add the right stuff and make room for the right stuff. It's all about subtraction in order for there to be an addition. You ever notice that when they have those restaurant shows? You know, they're trying to help a restaurant do better. It's really struggling. They'll walk in. They'll take their menu. They won't add to it. They'll subtract. Almost every time you watch it, they're going through that thing and they're like, you need to get rid of this, get rid of this. You're offering way too much. They'll subtract and get them down to where they can be productive. All right, number two, leave your relatives. Some of you have been waiting for this one. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus did all sorts of miracles, experienced great crowds, was teaching, would have to escape the crowds because of his popularity. He not only did miracles, but people would actually seek him out to receive healing into their life. They commented about his teaching too. They said that it wasn't like the religious leaders of the day, that he taught with authority. And in the midst of all of that, I want to read a little portion of scripture about an experience Jesus has when he goes home. Matthew chapter 13, 53, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there and came to his hometown and began teaching them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and miraculous powers? Now look at this. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, his brothers and James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except where? In his hometown, in his hometown, in his own household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief, their unwillingness to receive from him. What Jesus encountered is actually a phenomenon that happens to many people, and it's possibly happened to you in your life as well. It's where people connect with you at some point in your life, and here's what they do. They go like this. They connect with you, just got to get my camera up, at a point in life, and then they take your picture. Smile, Sophie. There we go. Awesome. They take a picture, and they hold that picture. And then what happens is this becomes the picture in their own mind of who you are. And so they hold that picture. They carry that picture. They hold that identity. Jesus, though, was no longer that little kid who was the carpenter's son hanging out with his brothers and sisters in his hometown. He was no longer that person. He had moved on. He had grown up. But when they met Jesus, what did they do? They pulled out that picture and said, oh, isn't he that guy? That remember that guy? Here's who his father is, here's who his mother is, here's who his brothers and sisters. That's who he is. That they framed him with that picture. They held on to that old picture of who they thought Jesus was. You know, maybe for you, you were the baby of the family and your brothers and sisters nicknamed you Little Jimmy. Little Jimmy as a kid. You can be an adult, married, running your own business, 6'6", 250 pounds of solid muscle, but when you go home, they still call you Little Jimmy. Why? Because it's the picture. It's the picture. And God says, I want you to leave your relatives and disconnect from past images of yourself. Now, that might mean separating from some relationships that want to project something negative on you all the time and want to continue to push you to be, you know, to fit into that picture. You know, that old group that says, come on, why don't we go out and get drunk and get loaded again like we used to? Or why don't we all go out and get high like we used to? And they're trying to push you. And you actually may need to distance from that. But it's not always that way. What needs to happen for you is that God's doing a work in your life, and he wants to do a work of subtracting you and subtracting from you those old images about yourself. And maybe it's the picture that was painted in your heart and mind when somebody told you you'll never really amount to anything. Maybe it's the picture that was planted in your heart and mind when somebody said, you know, you always seem to screw things up. You know, relatives are people that we're related to. And these words become our relatives. Here's what I mean by that. These words become how you relate to life. How you relate to life. You do life relative to these images that have been projected on you. And so everywhere you go, you're bringing your relatives. Maybe it's a picture that says low self-image. Maybe it's a picture that says, well, thinking not too much about yourself and expectations. Maybe it's seeing yourself in light of some negative words that were spoken over you. Maybe it's a picture of always feeling like there's something to prove, like somehow I always have to prove that I can measure up to people's expectations. You can live your entire life relative to a false picture of who you are. And so we relate to that. We carry that around. That's our relative. Our relative is a life that is lived relative to a false picture of who we are. And sometimes we create that picture out of our past, things that we've gone through, and it's like we go through things in life, and then what happens is this. We start to take selfies in those moments. And so here I am being rejected by a group of friends. Oh, there we go. There's a selfie. Me being rejected by a group of friends. Oh, here's me going through, a really tough financial place in my life because of some bad choices. I'm not very good with money. I'm going to take that picture. Oh, here's me going through, a separation. My marriage is falling apart. I'm going to take that picture. Oh, here's me, going through, school was hard and I decided to quit and didn't finish my degree. I'll take that picture. Here's me failing in business. I'll take that picture. Here's me being told that I'm stupid by someone I highly respect and love. I'll take that picture. And so what happens is 15, 20, 30 years down the road, you can still be relating to the world around you out of pictures that you took decades ago. And they're your relatives. God says, I need you to leave your relatives. I need you to stop relating to what you were. I need you to stop relating to a point of failure in your life. So how do I do that? Well, how you do it is you get born again, and then you get into God's word, and then you read things in the scripture where God says that you're wonderfully and fearfully made, and you start taking selfies like that. You read where he says, you can do all things through Christ. And you take another selfie. You read where the scripture says, old things pass away, all things are new. I got a fresh start. I'm going to take that selfie of my fresh start. And you start building new images based on God's word of who you are. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life, old image, old relative, is gone. New life has begun. What we need to do is update the picture and live relative to a picture that God is building through his word in your life. So we can look back, we can look back, at pictures. And we could go back there and we could find the picture that I took earlier. And I could say, oh, this must be you, right? This must be you. Is this you? Well, it's actually not you. It's you about 5 minutes ago.
Right. Wow.
But you've been listening to the word of God and your life has changed. This is an old picture of you. This is not who you are right now. Don't live your life always relative to an outdated picture of who you are. Now, Abraham didn't leave his relatives, and I think that we do the same thing in our Christian life. We start walking with Jesus, but we bring a few relatives along with us. We bring some old thinking about ourselves along with us. He brought his father, Terah. He brought his nephew, Lot. His father eventually died, and now he's got Lot with him, and eventually they come to a conclusion in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 6. And I'm just going to read the yellow where it says here, the land could not sustain them while dwelling together. How many of you know something? You can't get to where God needs to get you while you still live together with those old relatives. You can't do that. You can't go on and say, man, I'm going to be and do everything God wants me to be and do, but I've got this relative called you always screw up that I'm going to bring along with me. I'm going to be and do everything God wants me to do, but I've got this relative that says nothing seems to work out for you. I'm going to bring that one along with me. You can't get to where God wants to get you and keep taking those relatives of defeat and hopelessness and rejection and never measure up and all the rest with you. You got to let them go. You got to let them go. Now, here's the beautiful thing. When Abraham separated from Lot, Genesis 13, 18 says that Abraham moved his tent and then they came to a place where he dwelled called the Oaks of Mamre. The Oaks of Mamre. Mamre literally means this, strength. Listen, you'll only come into the strength that God has for you when you separate from those old relatives. And you allow yourself just to be who God says you are and don't carry those old images, those old pictures, those old ways of thinking about your life so that you can live a life that is connected to Jesus in full strength of walking with him. Here's the last one. Leave your father's house. Leave your father's house. We have an expression that we use sometimes in our homes. It's a Canadian thing. I know it's Canadian because I heard Oscar Leroy say it on Corner Gas. Authority right there. The expression is my house, my rules. And the notion of this is that when we live in our father's house, it's about living up to our father's expectations, but there's something actually more profound about our relationship with our father, and that is that inside of every child is a desire to please their father and to know that their father approves of them. You were born with that. Nobody had to make that up. Nobody had to tell you to do that. It's just there, and I think it's a healthy thing when it connects to a healthy family and can be obviously misused or whatever, but we all love. We all love to be approved, don't we? We all love approval. I mean, I still get a little bit excited when I use my debit card and it says approved. I'm just like, that's approved. I'm approved. I feel, just makes me feel good about my life. But approval can actually become very unhealthy when we begin to live a life out of the need for approval from people. And you can't move forward with what God has for you and carry an agenda of needing the approval of everyone around you. Galatians 1:10 says this, now, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul is being very clear here. He's saying, listen, you can't have these things competing in your life. You can't be like, I'm trying to please God, but I'm trying to please people at the same time. He says, you can't do it. You'll miss it. You'll miss the boat with what God has for you. And it can look like a very hard subtraction. You know, leaving your father's house, leaving the need to keep everyone happy that's with you and around you, and leaving the notion that you need to be pleasing to God and to everybody else around you at the same time. It can look like a hard subtraction, but actually it's quite liberating. It's actually quite liberating to know that you only need to please God with your life, that you can let go of an agenda that says, I've got to keep everybody happy about every choice that I make. Listen, the moment I said yes to Jesus, there were some people that were not happy. I couldn't live straddling the fence of trying to keep both going. I'm going to try to please God and keep these people happy about my commitment to Jesus. It's like, no, man, I'm going to live for Jesus. Whatever's bugging you, you got to deal with it. But I have one agenda, and I'm free from the burden of trying to keep everybody happy. Now, I'm not talking about you become a miserable person and ignorant or something like that. I'm talking about an overriding agenda to your life, that your life is just about pleasing God. That's what drives you. That's what motivates you. And it's actually quite liberating. One of the greatest freedoms I think I felt when I received Jesus was the freedom not to carry the burden of everybody else's expectations of me. And the realization that I could live for an audience of one. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says this, just as we have been, notice it's past tense, approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. You can stop looking for attention. You can stop wondering, what does everybody think about me? You can stop being concerned about, oh, what are they going to say on Facebook? Who cares? You're already approved by God. That's what the scripture says. You've already been approved. Matter of fact, God doesn't, here's God's approval. It's not like, okay, let him in. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, all right, we'll tolerate this guy, let him in. No, God says, you've been approved to such a degree that God is willing to entrust a message into your life that can make a difference for eternity in the life of somebody else.
Right.
Wow. Huge responsibility, but it really says something about what God thinks about you. That you have been approved to carry a message in your life that can make a difference for eternity in the life of somebody else. You know, Abraham didn't leave his father's house when he was told to. In Acts chapter 7, the scripture tells us that God first spoke to Abraham when he was in the Ur of the Chaldees. But Abraham took his father along with him, and he got to a place called Haran, and he settled there only part way to where he was going. His father's name, Terah, actually means this, station, station. You see, Abraham was trying to follow God and trying to please people at the same time, and whenever you do that, it causes you to be stationary. It causes you to get stuck. You can't go forward with what God has for you as long as you're still holding on, as long as you're still bringing a terror with you, someone that's just going to cause you to be pulled against the real agenda for your life. That's why the Bible talks about things like, hey, listen, if you're born again and following Jesus, you should marry somebody who's also in the same boat, not somebody who's going to always be pulling and keep you stationary when you're supposed to be moving forward. That's why the scripture says, listen, when you get married, you should leave your father's house. Why? Because you can't live to please the agenda of another house and your house at the same time. You can only do one house. So he says, leave those things. Leave those things. Let it go. We are to leave the Father's house. We are to leave the agenda of trying to keep everybody happy so that we can actually please God with our life and do life the way God says that we're supposed to do it. You're to leave your country. Change your habits. You're to leave your relatives, the old images that you've been living relative to. And you're to leave your father's house, the need to please everyone in your life. You know, salvation is a great subtraction that brings an addition. It really is. Paul said this, he said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, Christ in me. In other words, he says, I used to have a life, but that's gone now. I got a brand new life because of Jesus. You know, in the Psalms, the scripture says that God removes our sins as far as the east is from west. That's the great subtraction right there, isn't it? That God's forgiveness literally removes your sins as far as east is from west. He doesn't relate to you as a sinner when you receive Jesus. Why? That's been removed. We subtracted that. We added righteousness. We added right standing with God. We added approval. We added acceptance. We added you're a part of his forever family. It's a great subtraction that brings a great addition into our life. But it always takes a choice. God is not a God who pushes, forces, or manipulates. He just serves by going to the cross, and then he invites. And it's about us then responding to that invitation. Let's stand as we take a moment of prayer. And I want to give you an opportunity here this morning, because if you're someone who has yet to respond to the invitation to walk with Jesus, the invitation to allow God to remove your sins as far as east is from west, and to start a brand new life in a relationship with a living God, and to experience all that God has for you, then this is your moment. The Bible just simply says that you have a conversation with God. You let him know that you agree that you're a sinner. Let him know that you believe Jesus died and paid for those sins. And to let God know that he can now take his rightful place. You're not going to carry an agenda trying to please everybody else or just do your own thing. Your agenda now is live for an audience of one. Let Jesus be Lord of your life. And I want to give you an opportunity right now to talk to God right where we are. Have that prayer. Have that conversation. and have a new beginning that starts here today. Could we bow our heads for that time of prayer? How many here would say, Pastor, you know what? I want to be included. I want to be included in that prayer. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three, just so I know who's involved. On the count of three, just want you to raise your hand. Number one. Number two. You say, that's me. I know God's dealing with my heart. On three, raise your hand. Number three. Just to raise your hand. Let me know. That's me. That's me. I'm making that decision today. That's me. Awesome, awesome. You guys can put your hands down. Let's pray as a church family with those who are praying here today and making this decision. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on that cross to pay for my past. I ask that you forgive me, and I'm inviting you into my life. I'm professing you as my Savior and the Lord of my life. I'm going to follow you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from our series, Do the Math. If you're wanting to know more about Celebration Church or you would like to partner with us financially, visit us online at celebrationedmonton.com and follow us on our Instagram and Facebook at Celebration EDM. Come back next week to hear another great message.